going for a walk, maybe in the English countryside. Suddenly, the ground beneath you just totally gives way and you go crashing down and you land inside what looks like a bunker. And you can't see because there's dust everywhere. It's just, it's all in your eyes. But eventually it clears and you can see. And what you see are crates of guns and ammunition. This could happen today in real life if documents revealed this week are to be believed. They're a treasure trove of Cold War-era KGB documents. They've been revealed to the public this week by the Churchill Archives Centre at the University of Cambridge. And I'm joined now by a historian and expert on Soviet intelligence history at Cambridge University, Svetlana Lokova, who's helped translate some of the documents, and she joins us now. Svetlana, thank you very much for speaking to us. I understand these documents came to the UK. They were smuggled out of Russia by an archivist. Who was this archivist?
Hello, good to be with you. So Vasily Mitrokhin was a KGB major, and he was also in charge of the KGB archives. And he was in charge of a move of the KGB archives from their head offices in Lubyanka Square in Moscow to another brand new building outside Moscow. And because he was in charge of this move, he therefore had access to everything. And he became disillusioned with the Soviet system because of the suppression of the Prague Spring. And he felt that he wants to tell the truth about what he saw as the crimes of the Soviet Union. And the way he decided to do it, because he had this access, is he thought, well, if I start photographing this material, I can get caught. Punishment would be execution. So right. What he decided to do is he would scribble notes every day from the KGB archive files. Every day he will find something that's interesting. And then he will put those notes into his shoes. And then he will go outside the building and then smuggle them to his dacha and hold them in the milk jars in his dacha. And he did so for 10 years.
Well, we're talking about 2,000 pages.
That's right. And then what he did is he went to the American embassy in one of the Baltic countries and told them that he has this amazing material. But because he looked very scruffy, they didn't believe him.
No.
He then went to the British embassy, showed some of this material to a young lady there. She looked at it and came back to him with a phrase that changed his life and our history. Would you like a cup of tea? And that's the story begins.
Because I heard the story was he went to the US embassy and the queue was too long, so he went to the UK one instead. Is that not true?
No, they actually turned him away because at the time, because the Soviet Union was collapsing and, it was a lot of poverty, a lot of people wanted to get out. And so Americans were inundated with people and they just didn't, a lot of people would come and say, oh, we want to sell some secrets, and they just didn't believe him because he just looked very, very scruffy.
Amazing. There are so many stories you hear like that. It's just that they come out years and years later. How many weapons are we talking about that could be buried under the ground in the UK?
Well, I don't think we know the sort of exact numbers, but just to give you some context, of course, for us today, it is shocking to think about all these treasure troves of weapons. But in the 70s, this was actually quite normal because many organizations such as, RA, ETA, etc., the terrorist organization, they were stashing arms, explosives, and money caches in Western Europe and US. And so, therefore, even SOE, from the Second World War, so the British and Americans also stashed weapons because, for use for the partisans. So therefore, it was actually quite normal to have this.
Right, okay. I could understand that, but I still have visions of these Soviet agents who are just digging holes in the UK where they can keep
Well, that's right. And what's quite amusing when I was in the archive is we found this map. This particular one refers to Italy. And so Mitrokhin sort of writes out all the instructions on, when you're in Rome, take, this road and turn left there, et cetera, et cetera. And then there is this map which shows you the exact places. So I'm sure there will be a lot of treasure hunters now, and I hope we will be safe for them.
Yeah, indeed. I reckon you should get amongst it, given you've had a role in translating this. What was that experience like for you, incidentally?
Well, for me, being a historian and a Soviet historian, it was like a child in a sweet shop. because you will, of course, recall that no time before has something like that have been done. So no other secret services in the world has ever released, whether voluntarily or not, their material. So this is the first of its kind.
Right.
And also KGB archives are still classified and probably will never be declassified. So the only place in the world where both historians and members of the public, and it could be you, anyone can go now and look at these documents, and anyone in the world can go with just two types of ID to Churchill College, Cambridge Archives to see this amazing stuff.
Unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. We should all start photocopying things and smuggling them out in our shoes.
As long as you don't have to do that under the death sentence.
I suppose that's right. Yeah, that would be a hell of a thing to have to deal with. Look, you better go find a bunker, Svetlana. Don't talk to me. You've got stuff to go out and find. You've got the treasure map.
I'll
go find the treasure.
I'll put my map out and I'll let you know how that goes.
Good. Let us know. Please do. I appreciate your time. Thank you so much. Svetlana Lokova, who's a historian and expert on Soviet intelligence history at Cambridge University. Who would have thought a niche area like that would result in something as enormous and unbelievable as that? Well. Wow.